We could feel him, his substance and his being inside of us, and we get energized by the fact that that promise is true. When we were growing up in the Philippines, we have a family verse. I think I shared this before, over my 29:11. And it says, "Therefore, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And we have been drawing, our family has been drawing our hope and our life in that promise. It became central to our family's journey then and even now. And so my children are blessed with the reality of that, a witness inside the household of how true our God has been to us throughout the journey. And I have been also privileged of working as a hospital chaplain at Methodist Hospital, and had the opportunity to talk to several people in my journey as a chaplain that has an encounter with the Lord in their lives. Unfortunately, the depth and of the reality and the substance of the presence of God in their lives is not fully appreciated for a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The testimony has been established that they have accepted the Lord as their Savior, and yet it appears that the world is drawing them or has drawn them into the mold of what's out there instead of the Lord molding them into his being. And our journey in Romans chapter 8:29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." So our path as believers in the Lord is to be conformed ever increasingly to the beauty and glory of who Christ is, right? And so unfortunately, there's a lot of our brethren that are missing out in this journey. And it says there to taste and see that the Lord, he is a good God. And once you taste him, no turning back. So it's a challenge for each and every one of us to keep in track with our faith journey with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to start off with this undeserved favor in 1 John chapter 1. And this is where we are. This is like a snapshot picture of where we are. That's which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. These we proclaim concerning the word of life. Next. And it says here, "The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." So this is where we have been drawn by the Holy Spirit in this writing, enjoying the eternal life that the Lord has given each and every one of us. And this eternal life branches out towards the brethren, that we may have fellowship with one another. Next. And it says here, "The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The word, Jesus Christ, of course, is the word. You are a word. And basically, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word is coming out as well. You become his testament in this time and in this generation. Amen? When you say, "Let's go to McDonald's," you could almost smell the French fries, right? There's an identity there that has been established in that institution. At the same time, in Christianity, this is also expected. We are not exempt in this reality that we carry and bear the reality or the message of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Next. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Next. And it says here, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. And so the word of God allows us to stand by his power to be a true representative of who Christ is. And the word purifies over there, the blood of Jesus purifies us, is katarizo. And katarizo means it's like a wave washing us every day, every moment. And sometimes you're worshiping God and an evil thought would be passing your mind. And when it passes your mind, the blood of Jesus is immediately there, consuming or eating up that bad thought. So that we maintain that testimony and power in the presence of God and in the presence of the witnesses of this world through the purifying power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing. And sometimes we'll be in the most worshipful time of our lives, and we're so intimate with the Lord, even in driving, and we're singing this song, this Christian song, and be in touch with the Spirit, and be blessed, and sometimes crying, and all of a sudden somebody cut us, and we'll be saying, the flesh will just be coming out of us. And so, but the blood of Jesus is there to purify us from all unrighteousness. Next. For in Colossians 1:13-14, for he has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, which is apolutrosis, the forgiveness of sins. Apolutrosis is we have been purchased. We have been purchased. And so we are now not in the kingdom of darkness, we are in the kingdom of light. So it's just a powerful truth that has not been embraced by a lot of Christians in our realm and in our time. But when we could embrace this reality, we do not just speak the truth, we live the truth in us. We do not belong anymore to the kingdom of darkness, we belong to the kingdom of light. Next. Now, from that height, I would like to go and visit with you in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, facts of the undeserving. We are undeserving, really. In this chapter of Deuteronomy 28, it says here, of the 68 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 28, 54 are curses for rebellion from God. Next slide. And only 14 concern blessings for obedience. Wow! When I read this, it says like 54 for disobeying God and only 14 for blessings of obedience. Is God, the thought would be coming to us, is God really wanting to curse us and enjoy cursing us than blessing us? But there is a purpose for this passage of scripture. And we'll see that as we go on. Next slide. It says here, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So it says here, basically, that we need to fully obey the Lord our God and follow all his commands. By the way, by show of hands, okay? Love the Lord. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Have we fully obeyed that? Is there a person in this planet every day Loving the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength? And the answer is a big no. We cannot obey fully God all the way and all his commandments. No way. There is none that is perfect. No, not one. And that's the declaration of the scripture. What the Lord is trying to do here is exposing the attitude of the heart, the arrogance, the pride, the ungratefulness, etc. No, the rich man, the rich young ruler, approached Jesus Christ and said, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And the tragedy there is that the statement says, "What should I do?" So Jesus Christ gave him the full strength of the law. And he said, "When I was a young man, I keep doing this. I'm doing this." And then Jesus said, "Okay, one thing you lack. Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And the rich man turned back and with sadness because no one could do it. No one could follow the law of the Lord fully and truly and in all. So next slide would be saying here, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country if you follow fully and all of them. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Next. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Next. However, this is in verse 15, the curses of disobedience going to that part. If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees and I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Next. And there's the list of these curses. You will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your baskets and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. And the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Next. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruins because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Next, the Lord will inflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midnight, you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. Next, your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to leave the earth. You know, on and on and on. It's so, as you read this part of God's word, you could not stand anymore. You know, you probably started reading it standing, but by the time you're reaching the very end, you are so heavily laden that you feel like, man, I'd rather die. Next verse. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. Next. The Lord will, and this is in the very end of that chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, says, the Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will be offer enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. And that's even if you are sold, you know, buy me. You know, help me. No one wants to deal with you or buy you. Isaiah 59:2, for your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The sin, the tragedy of sin is like cancer. It will just eat us up. Eat us up if you are under the curse of God Almighty. And brothers and sisters, no one is perfect. We are all in this spot. We have not fully obeyed the Lord and all his law. None. No, not one. That's the conclusion of the matter. Next slide. Yeah, no one wants to buy us, but 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Look at this, church. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought. Somebody bought us. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Yes, no one cared about us. No one wants to deal with us. But we have a wonderful Savior that bought us with a high price of His body and His blood. Amen? So now there is hope because of who Christ is and what He has done for us. Next slide, please. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and Titus 3, 5, 6. This actually captures, you know, the truth of our message in the kingdom of light. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no man could boast. No one could stand before God Almighty, you know, and say, I am good enough. No one. And if Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Because of His mercy. And you and I have no contribution to our salvation. Watch how you act. Mahiya ka naman. If we have no contribution to the salvation of that the Lord has extended to us through His mercy, watch how you act in this kind of world. Are you merging your life as if the world would be scratching their head and saying, are you really a child of God or not? And that projection needs to come inside of us, brothers and sisters. You know, we need to look ourselves in the mirror. Am I different? Am I responding to the grace of God extended to me with truth and humility? Next slide. John 1:17. This is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. It says, for the law has given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There are two things there. Okay? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, if you look more intently in this chapter, in this verse, next slide, please, you would see that Moses is a servant. Okay? And grace and truth, or Jesus Christ, is a son. Now, we have two people over here that has impacted all humanity through the establishment of the law. One way or another, the law has been drawn away from the law given through Moses. Even other religions have their reference to some points of the law established through Moses. And that impacted the entire world. Now, Jesus Christ also, in His life, has impacted the entire world. Next slide. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He has provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God Almighty. So, sitting down is a picture of finished work. We have no credit, no contribution to whatever when it comes to our salvation. In Matthew 17:1-5, we have this picture of the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus Christ transfigured in front of His disciples, in the presence of His disciples, and Moses appeared, which represents the law. Elijah appeared, which represents the reinforcement of the law, and Jesus Christ was there Himself. And what happened after that event is that God's voice shut the top of the mountain and He said, This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has pleased the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to grace and truth." If you try to walk your Christian life through the law, "Oh, I need to do this and need to do that," and so on and so forth, self-effort, you're missing out. Because the finished work of Jesus Christ is sufficient for your eternal salvation. Amen. Why not walk in that path when God says already his stamp of approval, he is well pleased. Amen. Next. Now in Hebrews 12, 18 to 21, this kind of captures where the church is also at this time. The mountain of fear and the mountain of joy. Next. In the mountain of fear, it says there, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, which is Mount Sinai. To darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' Moses, the man that God has ordained to receive the law and that the law would be introduced to all humanity at that time, was trembling with fear because no one could do it actually. It's a place where your soul could not take it, that my soul could not take it." Next slide. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." The blood of Abel would be saying, "Vengeance! My blood is in the ground." But the blood of Jesus says, "Forgive. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's in Mount Zion, not in Mount Sinai. In Mount Sinai, it's darkness, it's gloom, there's thunder, there's fear, there's trembling. But in the Mount of Zion, there is joyful assembly. Even the angels are rejoicing for one soul that would be saying, "I'm transferring mountains. I don't want the law anymore." Although the law has its effect for each and every one of us, it brings us to our knees. And that's the purpose of the law. And the law would be saying, the law would be condemning us and bringing us to a place of repentance and humility before the Lord. "I could not do all your law, O Lord, and obey them fully." Once a soul has reached that point and transferred to Mount Zion, the forgiveness and grace of God, then there is rejoicing and there is life. Next slide. Galatians 2:16. "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one could be justified. No one." Oh, in New Year's, we'd be saying, "I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I will eat healthy. I don't want the bad stuff anymore, the chips and all that goes with that. I'll eat more broccoli." So after a week of eating all those broccoli and all the gas that's just building up inside your tummy, you would be saying, "Forget about the broccoli. Give me the lasagna, the steak, the good stuff." Right? No one of us could handle even making laws for ourselves. It is only by the grace of God that we could survive. Amen? So know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Next, Romans 5, 1 and 2. And this is the effect of that, where we are, brothers and sisters. And this is so exciting. Therefore, since we have been, of course, in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And Abraham was justified not because of his works, but by faith. You know, Abraham would be saying, you know, she's not my sister. You know, I want to keep my neck. You know, she's not my wife. She's my sister. In a way, you know, half sister and half truth and what have you, trying to do. But he could not perform. It was the grace of the Lord that has brought him into that the place of the favor of God Almighty. So now we have chapter 5 over here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Next slide. So we have been justified through faith. And that, brothers and sisters, is so clear. Our justification, daikou, they call it daikou, rendered innocent. That's the word justified, daikou. We have been rendered innocent. Even though we have all the garbage that we have done, thought of, said in this life, in the sight of God, we are innocent. Wow, that's so powerful. Through faith, we have peace with God. Next slide. Means say whatever garbage has been done in the past, you know, that separated us from the Lord God Almighty, for your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sin has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. All of that, brothers and sisters, has been paid with God, paid by Christ, so that we could stand in peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for our sins once and for all. Before, you have to, under the law, you have to bring the goat, to bring the calf. If you are poor, you bring your pigeon, and the innocence of that is covering your blood good for 1 year. But Jesus, in Jesus' case, our Savior, our beloved Savior, once and for all. For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Next slide. So besides having peace with God, we have this grace in which we now stand. We stand in grace, brothers and sisters. All of it is grace. You know, it's extension of God's being, actually. Christ is full of grace and truth. So even now, our past is taken care of because we have peace with God, and now we have this opportunity to stand in the grace of God. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Amen? So all the people of God actually should be the most cheerful ones. Right. We have life to share to this dark world. Next. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have hope. You know, if we pass, we're going to meet the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. Titus 2:13, it says there that for the grace of God has appeared, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You know, the grace of God has appeared. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live our life living and pleasing to God. So we have hope for the future. Our past is taken care of. Our future is taken care of. Our future is taken care of. We have hope. We have everything that the Lord has to give us. And all these brothers and sisters are undeserved glory, favor. Undeserved. Next. I guess that's the end of the verse. So I would be saying this, value your status with God Almighty. All of this is undeserved. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The context of that is not hell. The context of that is the crowns. Go for the crown that glorifies the Lord, that he will be giving you one of these days in glory. And that crown would be the one that you would be putting in the footstool of God Almighty and say, it's all about you, Lord. It is not about me. What I am in you is undeserved. I have not earned it. Walk humbly before the Lord. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what is right, to walk humbly and contrite before the Lord. And this is where we are as believers in the Lord in this world. And as as we end this time with the Lord, I would call on our music assistants over here. If you feel like you are in a place that you don't truly grasp the depthness of the beauty of the undeserved favor of the Lord, that you may probably tell yourself, Lord, I know I could do better in believing you and trusting your grace for me. I know I could not perform. You know, I cannot there's a lot in me that is not right before you, but I know it has been covered by the grace of God. Help me to grasp that grace and to live for your glory and your honor. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. I would like to pray as you bow your heads this morning, go into the inner courts of your heart and say this prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for the undeserved favor that has been given to me. Thank you that you have moved me out of the Mount of Sinai and brought me into the Mount of Zion, where there is rejoicing, where there is life, where there is celebration. Even the angels in heaven, O Lord God, have celebrated when I made my decision to follow grace. Lord, we know and I understand that the law has been given just to point back to me that I am not worthy, that I am empty. And yet grace appeared, the grace that has bought me, O Lord, from my emptiness, from my weariness, from my unworthiness, and bringing me to the table of the fellowship that you have with you and with the brethren that you have called from this earth. Lord, I thank you for that abundant grace that has been poured to me. And I love you, Lord. I choose to live for you now, until one day my fate will become sight. Receive now this prayer from my heart, Lord. I mean it, Lord. I don't want to be empty, O Lord God, when I meet you. I want to be dressed up with the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the confession of my heart, for I ask it in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.